In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. In this episode, we will continue our discussions on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, which we commenced last episode, concerning and concentrating on the armor of God we are instructed, encouraged, urged by St. Paul to put on in their entirety to avoid giving Satan the foothold. And why? We read in verse 13, so that we may be able to meet, confront the evil one, that is when he acts or and attempts to sneak in, and being in all respects prepared, so that we're prepared and we may stand firm. Last episode, we focused on girding our loins with truth, that is empowering ourselves with a true faith and doctrine, teachings, creeds. As far as the faith is concerned, it is the belief, the obedience, the life in the one God, the Father of truth, of whom all fatherhood in heaven and earth is named, as we pray in the liturgy of the Holy Qurbana. Believe, be obedient, and a life in the one everlasting Son, by whose hands all things were created. Believe, obedience and life in the one Spirit of holiness, or the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies all. And as far as the teachings and the doctrines are concerned, believing and being obedient and having a life in the one holy, apostolic, Catholic, denoting universal, complete church, to whom God promised through his holy prophets hope and life to all humanity through her, that is, his holy church, and only through her. And that promise of God was fulfilled and has been fulfilled through his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Belief, obedience, and life in the church. And for the salvation of mankind, he told her, that is his holy church, that her doors, now this is a prayer that we pray during the sacrament of baptism. God told her, his holy church, that her doors will be open forever, day and night, and won't be closed, that kings may come to her brilliance and the nations may bring forth their sons and daughters to worship at his footstool. For in her, that is his holy church, that is the sacraments of the priesthood, the church's priesthood, the faith, the doctrine, the theology, the liturgy, the sacraments, the traditions, and only in her, in them is her God and all of his provisions and gracious gifts. This, the armor of truth, true faith in one God, and his Son, our beloved Lord Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Church. But wait, there's more. Grace upon grace, or grace for grace, Jesus instructs in John chapter 1, verse 6. We are then told that we must also gird ourselves, or put on ourselves, put upon ourselves, and to wear the breastplate of righteousness. Now, by righteousness, writes the blessed Theophylact, and he comments that by righteousness, the apostle means the virtuous way of life in its entirety. You know, we speak about these things. We mention these virtues, good deeds, manners, ethics, but the world is so distant. You know, some people may say, well, you know, we know that, yeah, we need to live a modest life. We need to live a virtuous life. But, you know, we are so far away from that virtuous life that God has called us to. So the blessed Theophilus goes on and says, by righteous the apostle means the virtuous way of life in its entirety. He is telling us, in so many words, to embrace and accomplish every righteous deed. Because we spoke about faith, now we're talking about the deeds. Just as a breastplate protects a soldier from deadly wounds, so does righteousness and all other virtues protect a Christian from evil or every evil. And hence, St. Paul instructs and urges us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on righteousness. Very simply put, righteousness, if you're asking, what is righteousness? Righteousness is not justification. Righteousness is being right with God, in the eyes of God, according to the measures of God. Let's give some examples. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, St. Paul instructs that we are not to be likened or fashioned onto this world, or do not conform to the patterns of this world. This is when I read from the version in the English version, is the translated from the Peshitta, the Aramaic language. We are not to be likened or fashioned onto this world, but be changed by the renewing of your minds, that you may discern what is the will of God, good and acceptable and perfect. We're using this as an example. Now let's go backwards with this verse. To be right, to be righteous, to be deemed righteous by all the measures of God, which is one of the armors of God to deter Satan from taking a foothold, we need to discern what is the will of God first. And if we read verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, Paul is urging us, he's begging us, I beg you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God by a logical service. So our bodies being offered as a holy and pleasing sacrifice to God, acceptable to God, we are made righteous. That means we've put on the breastplate of righteousness. How? That we do not conform or be likened or fashioned onto this world, but the changing and renewing of our minds. We need to change our mindset, beloved. We need to change our outlook on life. We need to look at life through the eyes of Jesus Christ. We need to have a mindset on life just as Christ's mindset. When they came to make him king, he walked away. When they were waiting for an earthly kingdom and authority and government, he said, this is not me. This is not that I haven't come for that. The earth is mine. The heavens and the earth proclaim my glory. I don't need to claim it. It's mine. I'm here to put your minds and to take your focus of the earthly and put it on the heavenly. The Israel that is above, the new Jerusalem, the Israel, which is the church of Jesus Christ, the new Jerusalem, which is the kingdom of heaven. Now, let's clarify, beloved, when St. Paul, as a side note, is instructing us to offer our bodies as a sacrifice, he's not promoting suicide, because some people take the scriptures literally. You know, some people, when they read that Jesus says, unless you become like children, they go and sit and play in the dirt. Oh, you know, adults. And they think that they need to start buying matchbox cars, is that what they call them? And start, you know, brooming on the table and what have you. No, that's literal. What St. Paul is telling us is not promoting suicide. No. But he wants us to think of how we can offer the body how we conduct the body, how we present our bodies in life that is contrary to the world. That means I sacrifice what the world claims to be good and righteous. I don't want that. I'm sacrificing all of that comfort, maybe sometimes, you know, a little bit of temptation. No, I don't want that. We're going to give some examples. I want to sacrifice this body for God to look at me and say, wow, how beautiful, how adorned. How precious. And not for the world to give me wolf whistles. No, I don't want that. Not for the world to call me, hey, spunky. Hey, you look hot. No. I want the Lord to look at me and look upon me in my misery, that is, by the way. But out of his grace and love and mercy and out of his kindness to look at me and say, I am pleased with that. I am pleased with you. And then, obviously, and by the way, so that we don't take these verses as literal and, you know, promoting suicide, he adds living sacrifice. So we continue to live. So suicide is not a way of sacrifice, just a side note. And then to distinguish that sacrifice from the sacrifice of the law of the flesh and the Judaic sacrifice, Paul calls it acceptable to God, meaning that really there is only one sacrifice that God was pleased, God the Father was pleased, and through it he atoned, and through it he forgave, and through it he reconciled with men, was the sacrifice of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to commit suicide. We don't need to crucify ourselves. We don't need to shed blood. We don't need to shed the blood of animals. No, we don't need to do that. It's in vain now. It has no purpose whatsoever because Christ has done that for you and I. But what God wants is that living sacrifice, that sacrifice of obedience, of love, true, genuine love. You love the Lord, my dear brother. You love the Lord. You need to please the Lord in every aspect of life, every aspect, your work, your marriage, your relationship, you're going in and coming out. You need to please the Lord with every aspect of your life. My dear sister, you love the Lord. Loving the Lord doesn't mean during Good Friday you post a verse from the scriptures and you know, with a smile, a tearful face, and Jesus died for me. Of course, we know Jesus died for us. Yes, amen. How we reflect that appreciation, love, that obedience that Jesus died for me, how I express my appreciation is how I conduct myself in life. Not only that one day on a Good Friday or the Sunday of the Resurrection or the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how is it that the body is to become a sacrifice? Let's give some examples. And this is how we become righteous. This is how God claims us, declares us righteous, meaning made right, okay? One more time, meaning made right. You know, when you type up a document in Word and then you have the indentations, right? You have the centered indentation, the left. You're making it right. You want to center it, make it right, okay? So we are to be made right, to be indented, you want to call, by God, according to how we live and how we conduct ourselves. Matthew chapter 18, verse 9, some very amazing examples, and, you know, again, taken literally, it's very dangerous. It's metaphoric, but there's a great emphasis and a message in there. If your eye, which is the body of your a part of your body, actually it's a precious part of the body. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, right? Cut it out. One of the fathers writes, "Let the eye look upon no evil thing, and it has become a sacrifice." We've spoken about this. Every now and then you may be saying, well, he harps on the same thing. Yeah, because we're not doing it. Because we hear it, but we don't do it. We preach it, but we don't live it. We preach it, but we don't practice it. We agree to it, but we don't claim it righteously. If your eye causes you to sin, what causes you to sin, your eye, that means what goes into your eye, what your eye is perceiving and seeing and has been exposed to, cut that out. Cut it out. Because if you want to be righteous in the eye of God, this is the breast of the breastplate of righteousness. Cut out what is causing you to sin. If it's your eye, cut out what your eye is seeing. Now, as I said, it's a precious part of the body. So one of the fathers, I'm sure it's St. John Chrysostom, also comments and says, it's not just what you see, what you perceive, but those beloved friends, family friends, and relatives. If people are causing you to sin, cut them out. Now, it does not mean that you have no relationship, you just don't talk to these people, they're your enemies. No, no, no. Have no association. That's what St. Paul writes in his epistles. What relation is there between light and darkness? You know, lack of a better term, you neglect people and you sort of walk away from people that are causing you to sin, it causes them to start thinking as well. Well, what happened? Why are you so cold? Why are you so withdrawn? What's wrong? And you say, well, you know what? I don't agree with what you're seeing. I don't agree with what I see from you. It's causing me to sin. So I need to cut that out. Why? Because it's better for me to enter the kingdom of heaven and have no relatives, no friends, no BFFs, nothing, by myself to enter the kingdom of heaven than to be burning in the fire of hell and having so many friends and best friends and what have you. What about the hands, beloved? In Psalm 134, chapter 2, lift up your hands unto holiness and bless the Lord God. We need to be working holiness with our hands, charity, help, assistance, working with our hands to make an honest living, not thieving, stealing, murdering, bashing people. And I'll go as far, you know, and I've always said, Ashur Jonah says it as it is, right? And not fulfilling our sexual desires with our hands. You know what I'm talking about, men? You know what I'm talking about. Don't blush. Right? And my dear sisters, these are not what hands were made for. Hands were made for blessing the Lord God with our holiness. Now, holiness means not that your hands have halos around them. No, set apart. These hands are set apart to glorify God. Always extending the arm of reconciliation and peace. That's what Israel and Palestine and all the Arab nations and the United Nations, you know, everyone's coming out and giving their concerns and their views. It means nothing. It means nothing. All these people being interviewed and one will point the finger at Palestine and the other will point the finger at Jews while people are dying, innocent people are dying, regardless of what color, what race, they're dying, what gender, male and female, they're dying, right? Because, let me tell you why, because the leaders, those who call the shots, and by the way, what we see before our eyes are not the ones that call the shots, the ones that really call the shots, they're hidden. You won't see them. Oh, no, we won't see them, right? But I just want to be a fly on a wall when they see the Lord Jesus Christ return. Oh, how I'd love to see that day and see their faces, right? Because they don't have the obedience, the love of Christ. They may proclaim it and claim it. They don't have that love. They don't have that relationship with God, the creator of heaven and on earth, to extend the arm and make peace. It's simple. It's simple. Stop. Stop. Let's talk. You know, glory to God in the highest. Praise be to his name. Says to Job, I believe it is, let us converse. Come, let us talk to one another. This is God, the creator of heaven and earth, who sits in heaven and mocks those that are on earth. Not literally. That means he looks at us as though like, look at this. Look at this person. Look at humankind. They want to go against me. Extend the arm for peace, for goodness. And we must do good. We must not be lawless with our hands. Charitable work, extending help, assistance. That's how you're offering your hands as a sacrifice holy and pleasing to the Lord. Giving. What about our feet? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. Make straight paths for your feet. Your word is a light to my feet. Where we go, beloved, how we go. Where is our, you know, we have a tradition where when parents have a child, when the mother has a child, Stephen, we say brachta akle, right? Now I always used to think, why are we blessing only the feet? What about the head, the hands, you know? But it dawned on me that when we say, may his feet be blessed, meaning may his walk in life be blessed. May his walk in life be influenced, be guided, be protected by the will of God and the righteousness of God. But you know what? When the child grows and the child knows nothing about God because the parents have been so lazy, the parents laugh and ridicule the truth and the significance of coming to church and bringing their children to church and to children's ministry so that they can be taught and groomed and nourished. You see, the child's walk becomes distant from God. And then when the child, grown up, adult, falls into some serious mischief, who do we run to? We run to the church. Of course, that is absolutely right, because the church is there to always offer assistance and help. What about the tongue? You know, we've spoken about the F-bomb. The F-bomb is so now normal. You know, when sometimes you see these news clips, and when someone is cussing, there's always a bleep, bleep, bleep. That's not happening anymore now. So man is now free to use whatever word he or she wants, whether it's offensive, insulting, it doesn't matter. Whether it's a sin, it doesn't matter. It's my choice. I will use it. And I remember going back when I was a young boy, it's about 5 years ago, when I was a young boy or a young child, and even at school, even our high school days, St. John's Park High School, Ray Ishu, we wouldn't cuss in front of females. I mean, it was bad to cuss, but we wouldn't swear. We wouldn't cuss in front of females. It was always respecting the females. Right now, nowadays, the females, you know, they don't hold back because it's cool. It's expressing your anger. It's expressing your frustration. And sometimes it's out of context. Sometimes you don't even need to say it, right? So it's becoming a norm. We say it's like a gum in the mouth. Da te lawite gupuma, you know? Yes. And if you're laughing and you do it, you need to quit. You need to offer your tongue and your mouth as a sacrifice holy and pleasing to the Lord. The mouth has been created, obviously, to eat, to breathe. When you have a sinus infection, yes, you breathe from your mouth. To speak, to communicate, to speak truth, to speak words that are profitable. You know, St. Paul writes, you know, before you let go of the word, examine it. Make sure it's like salt that will season, you know, that has a savor, has a flavor to it, not bland, pache, right? The mouth has been created to glorify the Lord, our Heavenly Father, praise be to his name. In James chapter 3, verse 10, he writes, from the mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be done. These are the scriptures. This, you know, when we say we want Bible studies, Robbie, why don't you do podcasts and why don't you preach? And the church is not preaching. The church should be preaching gospel. The church should be preaching the scriptures. Amen. I'm preaching now. If you are one of those who uses your mouth for anything other than to live in this world and to praise God, it's a sin. You need to repent. There's my preaching of the gospel. Maybe you should be listening to the gospels then. You know, when Jesus says, the light came into the world in the Gospel of John, but those who were evil did not come to the light because they knew that once they come to the light, their sins would be exposed. Well, it's good for their sins to be exposed because then they would repent. What about looks and beauty, beloved? Yeah, I think I maybe have turned off a few people because I constantly hammer this message. Why? Because when you send me a friend request, for those who are listening, when you send me a friend request on Facebook or you follow on Instagram and what have you, and then your profile picture is not of a Christian, it's not in a manner that is befitting the Gospels, and is not offering a holy and pleasing sacrifice to the Lord, what do I do? You put yourself in my position. What do I do? Do I accept? Or do I reject and send a message? And I do sometimes. And then I don't hear from these people. They block me. God bless you. You know, I love Arachlochon. Why do I keep talking about this? Because we continue, and I see my brothers and sisters continue in this error. St. Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. And what St. Peter is writing, that's, you know, Allah Baruch, God rest your soul, St. Peter, you're in paradise, pray for us, beseech your Lord to have mercy upon us. I'm content with what he is complaining about. I'm content if that's the only case today. Do not be adorned with outward ornaments of your hair braid or of gold jewelry or fine clothing, but be adorned in the secret person of the heart and in a humble spirit which is uncorrupted, an excellent ornament before God. So, you know, gold and silver now, I have no issues with that. But when the outfits are getting shorter from the hems and from the neck, and they're becoming tighter to reveal, and the clothes are only to reveal, only to show the gift that God has given us, but not in a way to praise God. What should I preach? You tell me. You message me. You tell me. Listen, we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. We're talking about righteousness meaning being right in the eyes of God. And we're talking about the scriptures telling us that to be right with God, we need to know his will. And his will is not for you and I to parade ourselves. That is not. His will is that we are all obedient to him. And why? You know, I always ask the question, and you should ask your question, and you should know this. Just because you're going to be obedient to God doesn't mean you increase God's glory and righteousness. God is glorified. From the mouths of babes and sucklings, you made your glory. I cannot affect God's glory. No, but what I do is when I do things for the glory of God, it shows my true love and my obedience to God. So that when he returns, I am seen right in his eyes. So that when Satan wants to come and take a foothold, he has no place because he sees that you and I are so clinged to the Lord with the manner of life that we live that he just walks away and says, you know what, nah, forget it. This guy's too difficult. One of the church fathers writes this, and I'll conclude. But he who is both the head of the man and the beauty of the woman the bridegroom of the church, Christ Jesus, what sort of crown did he put on for both male and female? It was a crown of thorns, beloved. A crown of suffering and ridicule. Gentlemen, when you stand at the altar to be married, to be blessed, and I pray that you're not drunk, right? I pray that you're in the right mindset to listen to the words so that you know what you're saying. When the crown is placed on your head, my dear brothers and sisters, it's not, it's got nothing to do about being cute. Nothing. It's got nothing to do about the pictures coming out, so you have some nice pictures and memories. No, no, no. When you lower your head and receive that crown, it's a crown of sacrifice. The crown of sacrifice that Christ received on his head before he was crucified. And it's the crown of sacrifice that the church receives, that we will sacrifice our lives, offer to God a sacrifice that is holy and pleasing with our lives, our minds, our hearts, and our souls. And he goes on and he offered his body on the crucifix as a sacrifice pleasing to God for the victory or the power and adornment of his holy church. So Christ received a crown of ridicule. Christ endured suffering and persecution and a death, a ridiculed death. One who was cursed, as though he was cursed. He took on the curse and he received that. And today, I want to show the world that I have a beautiful body, and I want to show the world that I have my physique is so amazing, and I take pictures to show the world. What happened to narcissism? What happened to narcissism? I don't understand why I would take a picture of myself and then post it so that the world can see how beautiful I am, or the world can see that I am what I am. No, beloved, because that's when we need to really wake up and really consider where we stand with God. Maybe, and just maybe, Satan has taken that foothold. And it's not the end. It's not the end of the world yet. There is time. There is that one last hour that we come back and we repent and we ask the Lord to forgive us. And then after we receive the forgiveness, we do truly offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, so that we are made right. And then we rest assured that we have put on the breastplate of righteousness. Praise and glory be to the name of our Heavenly Father, His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.